on text 63. Iti te garama kyatam kuyat kuyataram maya vimrishayatat asheshena yatechasi tatakuru. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do. So, the word iti here means that this is actually the end of Krishna's teachings, because it means thus, or therefore. Therefore, I have described knowledge to you, which is guya, which means confidential, and guyatara, which means more confidential. It has been described by me, maya. So therefore, vimri shayatat asheshena, you should think about this fully, and then tatechasi tatakuru, then you should do as you wish to do. So guya means to understand Brahman. It means to understand Aham Brahmasmi and to understand the Brahman aspect of the Lord. That's confidential. And those teachings were given earlier in chapter 2. Some basic knowledge about the soul and the spirit. Akledyo yam adhayo yam. All this, talking about the spirit or Brahman. And then Guyatara means more confidential. That means knowledge about the super soul. So Krishna, he was describing in verse 54, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, that was Guya. Confidential knowledge. And then in verse 61 and 62, he was describing the super soul, that Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridayesha Arjuna Tishtati Brahmaya Sarvabhutani Yantra Vridhani Mayaya, that he is the one who's controlling everything. He's the one who's giving everyone different bodies and so forth. So you should surrender unto him utterly. So the last two verses, Krishna gave more confidential knowledge, Guyatara. And so this, he says, this ends the third group of the six chapters. This is the ends, the formal ending of the teachings. So in the commentaries, Krishna says that, thus I have explained to you this knowledge of karma, jnana, and yoga. This is more secret than secret. It's guyatara. This has not been revealed in the writings of Vishishta, Vadarayana, and others. Even the sages do not know this completely. Being so confidential, I have not given it to them, but I'm giving it to you, Arjuna, because you are very dear to me. So now deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. And so Arjuna began meditating on all the teachings that he heard. And Krishna looked at Arjuna and saw him deliberating on all of these things. And Krishna's heart began to melt like butter. And he felt very compassionate towards his dear friend Arjuna. So then he pointed to his friend and said, now I will explain the essence of this Gita Shastra. So there's no need for you to continue deliberating further and, you know, taking on this difficulty and anxiety deliberating and trying to figure out what is the best thing to do. Because now I will summarize everything. I will give you the essence of this entire Shastra. This is what he speaks in verse 64. Sarva guyattamam bhuya shrinume paramam vachaha ishtosi medhridam iti tado vakshami teitam. Because you are my very dear friend, Arjuna, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. So he says, sarva guyattamam bhuya. Now I will give you the most confidential knowledge of all, again, because he already spoke this before at the end of chapter 9. Shinume paramam vacha. So please listen to my supreme instruction. Ishto si me dridam iti. That I am telling you this because you are very dear to me. Like we say, Ishta Dev. Now he says, Ishto Si Me Drida Iti. You're very dear to me. Therefore, Tato Vakshami Tehitam. I'm speaking this for your benefit. So, he already gave the Guya and Guyatara. Now he's going to speak the Guyatamam, the highest teachings. So, and why is he going to speak it again? Because Arjuna is most dear to Krishna. He's a very dear friend. So out of Krishna's kindness and friendship and love for Arjuna, he explains everything again. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur commented on verse 63, and he says, thus the teachings of the third group of six chapters is now finished. And he began to describe the Bhagavad Gita like a golden box. So the first six chapters is like the bottom of the box, teachings of karma. And the last six chapters form the jewel-studded top of the box. And inside the box is the middle six chapters that deal with bhakti. They're the most confidential. And this is the priceless jewels of bhakti are hidden within inside of this golden box. And on the written on top of the box is two verses which are the key to open up the box. If you can get what's inside of the box, you'll be very rich, because this great treasure conquers Krishna's heart. So if you can get inside of the box, then you can conquer Krishna, because you can get bhakti. And the two verses are these 64 sacred syllables, beginning with Man Mana Bhavaman Bhakto and Sarva Dharma Pratyaja. These two verses are written on the top of the box. And this is the key that opens the box. So since this is the key to open the box, and it's on top, it's on the top part of the box, which is the last six chapters, we see it's in the last chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So these are the most precious treasures in all of the three worlds, these two verses. And it has the power to bring Krishna under control. So, we'll chant the first 32 sacred syllables. Manmana bhava man bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mama vaishasi satyam te prati jane priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So again, Krishna's spoken this before, and again he says the same thing. Manmana bhava, you should think of me always in the form of Krishna, in this threefold bending form of Shyamasundara, holding flute with peacock feather in hair. And one should always think of Krishna. And Baladeva Vidyabhushan said in that ninth chapter, very naturally and without any break, just like honey flows from a bottle, that the mind should be fixed on the object of service. Because that's what makes someone a devotee. This is the symptom of someone who's a devotee. He's meditating on Krishna while he's performing his activities of devotion. So this is the main thing, is thinking of Krishna. And then becoming devoted to him means so many other things. Serving him with love, being loyal to him, being fixed and dedicated to him, doing things for his pleasure only, and making him the goal of one's life. And Madhyaji, worshipping Krishna, must be done with this firm vow. So the worship continues on and on every day. And one offers one's homage unto Krishna in a humble mood, realizing that he is my Lord, he is the supreme enjoyer, I am his part and parcel, I am his servant. So this mood is also there. So the devotees fall down in the dust in front of the temples of Krishna, offering their pranams, not caring for the dust or mud, out of love for Krishna. And therefore Krishna says, Mama Vaishasi, you come to me. I promise you this, I make a vow. And he says, Satyam te, I make a vow, Arjuna, that you will come to me. Pratijane, I promise you. I'm telling you the truth, Satyam te. And why? Why will you come to me? Because priyosi me, because you're very dear to me. I'm making this promise. So in the commentaries, Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur and Balaji Vidyabhushan, they comment that that Krishna says, I'm promising you this because you're very dear to me. You will come to me. And Arjuna says, but I cannot believe you, because people from Mathura, they always promise and they utter satyam in every sentence they speak. And I know you're from Mathura, and because people from this place, they always promise this and that, and they always deceive others. So it's difficult for me to accept this. And then Krishna says, yes, but yes, it's true. People from Mathura, they deceive others and they always make promises. But they never deceive one they love. And what to speak of you, who are most dear to me. So I promise you, because I can never live without your association. Therefore, you must come to me. I promise you this. So here Krishna is making his vow that his devotee will come to him. And it's because he's very dear. The devotee is very dear to Krishna. And Prabhupada comments, the most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection of Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions found of Krishna in Brahma Samhita and other scriptures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Balaji Vidyabhushan mentioned in his commentaries, Krishna said that, "And I promise you will come to me, not any of my other forms, like the thousand-headed Purusha, or Lord Varaha, or Lord Matsya, or Nrisimha. Now you will come to me, to my place." Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is disclosed to Arjuna, because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Okay, next verse. So now Arjuna says, "Well, Krishna, you're telling so many things. Think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down. Make it simple. Just tell one thing." Then Krishna says, "Sarvadharmam parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear." Prabhupada comments, "The Lord has described various kinds of knowledge and processes of religion. Knowledge of Supreme Brahman, knowledge of Supersoul, knowledge of the different orders and statuses of social life, knowledge of the renounced order, knowledge of non-attachment, sense and mind control, meditation, etc. He has described in so many ways different types of religion. Now, in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions, for the Lord personally promises to protect him." So after telling all different levels and practices of religion, now Krishna says, just give it all up. So why does he do that? He's been giving all these different teachings on different levels, and now he just says, forget all about these. Why did he bother to do all this? Actually, everything's a waste of time unless it brings you to the point of surrender to Krishna. That's the purposes of all of the angas and all of the practices and all of the yogas and all of the other kinds of religious sacrifices that Krishna was mentioning. It's all meant to bring you to the point of pure devotional service. And if it doesn't, then it's to be rejected. Just like Devahuti said in the Bhagavatam, third canto, "Nehayat karma dharmaya nadiradaya kalpate natyakta parasevaya jivanapamito isa." So she said that all work is meant to bring one to religious life, and all religious life is meant to bring one to renunciation. And all renunciation is meant for bringing one to pure devotional service. So if these things don't bring one to the next higher, then they have to be rejected. Jivan api mirtovisa, then the person is to be considered dead, even though he's living. So there's different levels, and there's a goal to all of the religious practices, and that's why Krishna says to give these things all up. If they're not bringing you to me, then you reject them. So that's why he says that, so give up all of these considerations of the different levels of religion and yoga, and just surrender to me, because that alone will free you from all sinful reactions. You'll get liberated. Moksha Ishami. I will liberate you. I will free you from all sins. You'll get moksha, mashucha, and don't worry. Don't hesitate. Just surrender to me. Because I'm the Supreme. So Prabhupada mentions this, that to such doubt is here said, that even if one is not free from sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Krishna, he's automatically freed. There's no need of strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities. With faith and love, one should surrender unto him. Prabhupada quotes from Hari Bhakti Vilas, describes surrendering to Krishna more in his commentary. He says, anything that does not lead to the perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness should be avoided. One should be confident that in all circumstances Krishna will protect him from all difficulties. He doesn't even have to consider how to keep body and soul together. As soon as he surrenders to Krishna and engages in devotional service, then everything, all contaminations from material nature are mitigated. And then Prabhupada says later, at the end of the last paragraph, in other words, devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Vidyabhushan comments that those who think Bhagavad Gita was spoken to engage Arjuna in battle are incorrect. The confidential message is to become a devotee. All yogas are only means to purify the heart so that one may come to devotion. And he summarizes, of the many ways to purify the heart, the best and the quickest way is surrender to Krishna. There's some more commentary here on this. So, Prityaja, you give up. Generally, we're talking about the Varnashram rules and regulations. Just surrender to Krishna. But there's different meanings according to the level. As we said, there's two levels of sannyas. One should give up enjoying the fruit of his work, and then the other one is to give up the work itself. So according to your level, what you should give up is dependent upon your station. According to your level, your surrender, your giving up, your renouncing maybe is different. And therefore, the spiritual master is necessary to help you to understand what you should give up and when, like this. So Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, here the meaning of Parityaja isn't to take sannyas. Arjuna is not qualified. So when Krishna is saying Sarvadhamma Parityaja, he means surrender the fruits and keep the duty. So when the living entity gives up all duties and surrenders to me, he becomes qualified to attain amrita, freedom from reactions. One should engage in one's duties until one becomes very attached to hearing my pastimes and is attached to my katha. Knowing the strengths and so-called defects of all my instructions and seeing them in perspective, one can act properly. Pratyeksha means renouncing completely, not just the fruits, all-round renunciation. In this way, take shelter of me only, not religion, demigods, yogis, or anything else. Previously I said that you're not qualified to become a pure devotee, and I instructed you in Yat Karoshi Yarashnami. That was Karma Amisha Bhakti level, but or Nishkam Karma Yoga. But at present, my heart is overflowing with mercy out of compassion. I have made you qualified for unalloyed devotional service. This can only be attained by the mercy of my pure devotee. But now I have broken this rule, and I am granting this to you myself. Don't think that you'll incur sin by not performing your nitya and naimittik duties. The Vedas also say to do those, but I was the one who spoke that in the Vedas, and now I'm asking you to renounce them. On the contrary, following your conventional duties, if you continue following your conventional duties now after hearing my instruction, then out of disrespecting my words, that will be sinful. So it's like, because Krishna is the personality of religion, and he's the one who spoke all of the religious principles in the Vedas that Arjuna was quoting way back, you know, in the first chapter. If Arjuna, now knowing that Krishna is the Lord, rejects his instructions and then he quotes the Vedas, then Krishna says that will be sinful. But because there's different levels, one has to understand the time, place, and circumstance of applying religious principles. Just like if you're driving through the city, in say in the West, and there's a red light, and it's broken, and there's a policeman standing underneath it, and he's waving everyone on. Then if you stop, you know, and the policeman's going like this, and then you stop, and then he comes over and says, I'm waving you on. Come on, you're holding up the traffic. And then you say, but look, the light is red. Then he'll become angry and he'll give you a ticket. So, because he's the personality of law, he's representing law. So he's there to give a time and place circumstance. If the light is broken, then you need a person to actually determine who should drive when, you know, when to stop and when to go. Not the light. The light is now not important. So Krishna is personally there, and Arjuna is pointing at the light, saying, look, I shouldn't fight because this and that and this, different reasons. So Krishna is saying, no, you should give up all of these things, because now I'm here, I'm telling you what to do. So this is the meaning of this verse from different angles. So in order to surrender to Krishna, it takes some faith. And this is described in this verse from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Anukulyasa sankalpa partikulyasa varjanam rakshishatidhi vishvaso. Vishvaso means faith. That we have to have faith that Krishna will protect us, gopidve varanam tata, and accept him as our guardian. So that to surrender to Krishna requires that type of faith. Just like we saw that Krishna protected Draupadi. She had that faith. She no longer tried to, you know, hold on and protect herself by holding her sari with her two hands, but rather she knew that by holding her hands up and praying to the Lord that he'll protect her much better than she could herself. And Gajendra was like that also. When he was on the verge of death in the jaws of the crocodile, he prayed to the Lord for protection, because he knew that there was nothing he could do. He was totally helpless. And he also raised his trunk into the air and prayed to the Lord. And sure enough, Lord Vishnu came floating down on Garuda and saved him. And he took his chakra and snapped off the head of the crocodile. So the Lord will protect the devotee. So therefore he says, Mahashucha, don't worry. Don't hesitate. Just surrender to me. Everything will be taken care of. So then Arjuna, he's still worried. He says, but if I surrender to you, and then just not consider good or bad, and just do whatever you say as you engage me, then I don't have to worry. You're the Lord of everything. But if you engage me in irreligious activities, what will be my destination? And then Krishna says, the sinful activities in the past, present, and future, I will deliver you from all of that. I have all power. I am not incapable of doing it. Don't think that I'm inefficient. I have sufficient power to do that. So just have faith. And he says that, I'm making you the object of instruction to humanity by speaking to you. Don't worry about your destination. The entire universe can give up all their activities and engage happily in my devotional service. The responsibility for their sins and bringing them to me is mine, as is also the responsibility to maintain their bodies. As I've said before, hey Arjun, moreover, you shouldn't lament that, oh, the Lord has taken this responsibility and it's a burden for him. It's not a burden for me. I'm Sattva Sankalpa. Whatever I desire becomes truth. You are not, now you are no longer in need of further instruction, so I will end my instruction. So, anyway, I'm just giving you a little bit of this. It's very lengthy commentaries here. So, now, after hearing this, Arjuna was wondering, what should he do with this confidential knowledge? Could he tell others or not? And if he should tell others, then who should he tell it to? And Krishna, understanding his mind, spoke the next verse. Idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha shushushave vacham na cha mam yo vyasuyati. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. So now Krishna gives some criteria who you should speak this knowledge to. So this is not only for Arjuna, but for all of us. And the first thing he says, natapaskaya, someone who is not austere. It means that someone who is not controlling their senses. And nabhaktaya means someone who is not a devotee. That means he has no faith in bhakti or in the Lord. And nachashu shushave vacham. That don't speak it to someone who's not engaged in devotional service, or it also means one who's not inclined to hear. Because shu shu shave means to hear. So people who don't like to hear. And lastly, but not least, avyasuyati means someone who's not envious. If someone's envious, then don't speak to him. That means that if they say that Krishna has a material form, they're envious. Prabhupada comments, even if one is not sensuous, but is strictly following the disciplines enjoined in the Vedic scriptures, if he is not a devotee, he also cannot understand Krishna. And even when one poses himself as a devotee, but is not engaged in Krishna conscious activities, he cannot understand Krishna. There are many persons who envy Krishna because he has explained the Gita, in Gita, that he is the Supreme and that nothing is above him or equal to him. There are many persons who are envious of Krishna. Such persons should not be told of Bhagavad Gita, for they cannot understand. There's no possibility of faithless persons understanding Gita and Krishna. Without understanding Krishna from the authority of a pure devotee, one should not try to comment upon Bhagavad Gita. So, these are the negative things. So, but who should I speak it to then? Right? That is the next verse. Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhaktesha vidasyati bhaktim mai param kritva mama vaishateya samshaya. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he will come back to me. So one should submit this to devotees only. And then bhakti mai param kritva, he will be guaranteed. He'll be performing devotional service. Two things will be the result. And if he explains this confidential knowledge to devotees, first thing is that he'll get devotional service and he'll get Krishna. He'll come to Krishna. So Prabhupada says here, generally it's advised the Gita should be discussed only with devotees. Because those who do not accept Krishna as he is, and the Gita, one should not explain to those people, because they'll just make offenses. They should be willing to accept, at least theoretically, that Krishna is the Supreme and the Gita is a holy scripture. Of course, then Prabhupada says, anyone who tries to sincerely present this, he will advance. And he discusses this further a little bit later. 69. Achattasman manusheshu kaschime priya krittamaha bhavita nachame tasmar anya priya daro bhuvi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So Krishna gets supreme satisfaction when his devotee explains this confidential knowledge to others who are not envious and who are willing to accept, who are inclined to hear. So this is a verse to help support and give encouragement to those who are preachers, because preachers need that. If you've done preaching, you know it's not so easy to preach to people in any way, even if you're just going out and selling books or you're trying to cultivate people, you know, in Namahata groups or in any circumstance. It's always difficult because there's so many attachments and there's misconceptions and there's ignorance and there's fears and there's impersonalism. People don't want to surrender to Krishna, and you're preaching to them to surrender to Krishna, and they always give some arguments and fight back and argue. And so anyone who's willing to take on such austerities for the Lord, then he becomes very dear to the Lord. Adyeshyate chaya imam dharmyam sambaramavayo gyanayagena tenaham ishtasyamiti memati. And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. Gyanayagena, the sacrifice of knowledge. The word sambhara means conversation. So one who hears, studies, or even just here he says one who studies this, then he's worshipping me with his intelligence. So you're also worshipping Krishna in this seminar, this way. And then the next verse he says, the people who don't study, if they just hear, they also get a nice benefit. Shadhavanana suyascha shrinuyarapi yo naraha sobhimukta shubalokan prapnuyat punya karmanam. And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. So the prerequisite here is shadhavan and anasuyascha. So the people, they may not study, But if they hear it with faith, and if they're not envious, then so pimukta shubha lokan prapnuyat punya karma, they achieve punya karma, transcendent or pious credit, like performing ashwamedha sacrifices. Prabhupada mentions in his commentary, like performing thousands of ashwamedha sacrifices. And but not just that, sopi mukta, that he also becomes liberated. So it's not just some material pious result, but he also becomes liberated. What does it mean? Shubha lokan. He goes to shubha loka. Right? Or Shubal is there serving prasadam and speaking Bengali. And, right? Shubal here means auspicious, but Prabhupada comments means the person will go to Dhruvaloka. If he's a righteous devotee, but he's not completely pure, then he goes to Dhruvaloka, the planet of Dhruva, the pole star. And there Dhruva is present. It's a spiritual planet within the material universe. So it's like going to Vaikuntha. So now Krishna questions Arjuna after all of this. Kacchide tachutam parta tvaya kagrena chetasa kacchid agyana sammoha pranatasthe dananjaya. O son of Pritha, O conqueror of will, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? So, one might ask, why does Krishna ask this question to Arjuna after giving him all this teachings? Why is he asking, have you heard this attentively? I mean, if he wasn't attentive, you know, then why did he speak all of this knowledge? Or maybe he should have asked them back in chapter 7, are you attentive? But here we see that because Krishna is taking the role of Arjuna's guru, therefore he's very concerned about his disciple Arjuna and his friend, and so he's speaking this, he's asking, have you heard this attentively? Because if Arjuna wasn't clear on some points, then he wanted Arjuna to bring them up, and Krishna was willing to speak the entire thing again. Imagine going through the whole 5 months seminaring again, right? So I'm not willing to do that. Probably you're not willing either. But Krishna was willing to speak the whole thing right from the... My dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions. Sorry, I'll read something. So, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur comments. Arjuna says, what more can I ask you now? I have given up all, and I'm ready to act according to your order. I have no anxiety, and I have complete faith in you. I will now follow only your order as my dharma, not my duty by varna. From now on, I will give all that up. Then Krishna says, my dear friend, if you are prepared, I have come to remove the burden of the earth. I have some work left, and I want to do it through you. Then Arjuna says, Nashta moha smriti labha. My illusion is gone, and I have regained my memory by your mercy, my Lord. Tvat prasada. Now I understand everything clearly. My doubts are dispelled. My mind is clear. I will do whatever you ask. Previously I was confused, but that has been removed by hearing your divine instructions. I now understand that there is the Supreme Lord with the transcendental and beautiful form of knowledge and bliss. He's the supreme controller, the friend of his devotees, and by his will, he creates the material world. He is so merciful that he can give his devotees anything, even his own self. This is the knowledge that I've gained, and I am a soul surrendered to you, because I understand that you are that supreme person. I am a soul surrendered to you now, and I am ready to assist you in your mission of removing the burden of the world. So saying this, Arjuna took hold of the Gandiva bow, and he stood up, ready to fight at this point. So he said, Karishye vachanam tava, now I will execute your order and help you, assist you to remove the burden of the earth. So here, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives his last commentary, and he says that I have written in my Sarartha Varshini commentary comments to those last five verses up to number 78. But Lord Ganesh sent a mouse-like carrier who stole away these two pages. And if that is his desire, then so be it. Therefore he didn't write any more. But he said he gave some blessing to the devotees that thus I complete the Sarati Varshini commentary on Srimad Bhagavad Gita. May it please the saintly devotees. May this sweet Sarata Varshini, the commentary that rains down the essential meaning, give delight to the Chataka birds who are the Lord's devotees all over the world. And may its sweetness also shine in my own heart. So that's his name. His commentary is Sarartha Varshini. Sara means essence or cream. Artha means meaning. And Varshini means raining down. So that commentary which rains down the essential meanings of the Bhagavad Gita. So we should be very thankful that he wrote such wonderful comments. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ki begins speaking. Sanjayo vacha ityaham vasudi vasya partasya cha mahatmanah sambadam imam ashrausam adhutam ramaharshanam. Sanjaya said, thus I have heard the conversation of two great souls, Krishna and Arjuna. And so wonderful is that message that my hair is standing on end. So Sanjaya, here Bhagavad Gita ends the word iti again. So before it was Krishna's teachings, and now the actual ending of the Bhagavad Gita is here. So it's like back to the history of Sanjaya speaking with Dhritarashtra in his court in Hastinapur. And he calls Arjuna and Krishna Mahatmana. Hearing that conversation, his hair stood up on end.
Vyasa prasarat shrutavan etad bhuyam aham param yogam yogeshwarat krishnat sakshat katayata svayam.
By the mercy of Vyas, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who is speaking personally to Arjuna. So it was by his spiritual master's mercy, Vedavyas, that Sanjaya was able to actually hear these discussion between Krishna and Arjuna, because Vyas gave him the mystic power to be able to hear and understand everything that was happening on the battlefield. And he says that I heard it sakshat katayata svayam. I heard it directly myself. In other words, he's glorifying, or he's expressing his own his feeling of great fortune, that I was so fortunate I was able to hear this directly, not just in some disciplic chain, you know, of teachers, but I heard it directly from the Supreme Lord himself. In the previous tika, Prabhupada said, the conversation was wonderful because such an important conversation between two great souls had never taken place before and would not take place again. Of course, we know what happens every day of Brahma, but at least in our lifetime and for thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years, it wouldn't take place again. So here, it's also interesting that Prabhupada mentions Vyas was Sanjaya's guru, and Sanjaya admits that it was by his mercy that he could understand this conversation. It means that one has to understand Krishna not directly, but through the guru. Now, at the same time, he says sakshat, that I'm experiencing this directly, but it's Vyasa Prasada, it's by the mercy of my spiritual master. So actually, everyone can have a direct experience of Krishna, but he'll understand that it will be by the mercy of his spiritual master. The spiritual master is the transparent medium, although it is true that the experience is still direct. This is the mystery of the disciplic succession. An interesting point. Just like devotees in ISKCON, they have a direct relationship with Krishna, with Srila Prabhupada, but it's by the mercy of their spiritual master. That is such because when Srila Prabhupada and Krishna sees the surrender and humility and honesty and loyalty of the disciple for the guru, then Krishna himself and Prabhupada bless the devotee so that they can understand more, that they can get realization directly about Prabhupada and Krishna and others, you know, and Mahaprabhu and, you know, whatever. So that must be there, the humility, loyalty to the guru and surrender. Prabhupada says, it is to be understood that as Arjuna was fortunate enough to understand Krishna directly, so by the grace of Vyas, Sanjaya was also able to hear Krishna directly. And he says, actually there's no difference between hearing directly from Krishna and hearing directly from Krishna's via a bona fide spiritual master like Vyas. The spiritual master is the representative of Vyasadeva also. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, on the birthday of the spiritual master, the disciples conduct the ceremony called Vyasa Puja. Text 76. Rajan Sanskritya Sanskritya Sambharam Ivan Adbhutam Keshavarjuna Yo Punyam Rishyamicha Mahur Muhu. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. Tat shat samsritya samsritya rupam adyadbhutam harehe vismayo me mahan rajan rishyami japuna puna. O King, as I remember that wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. So Arjuna was tasting the adbhuta rasa, and the words he speaks from when he begins in, was it 73? He uses the word adbhuta. So, 74. And that his hair is standing up. So here he's also saying that remembering that beautiful, wonderful form of Krishna, he's referring to the Visharup that Krishna manifested in chapter 11. Because Sanjaya is a Visharup Bhakta. That's his ecstatic rasa. Krishna is a Shanta Bhakta. So when he saw that universal form, his hair stood on end, and he felt great ecstasy, prema, by the mercy of Vyas. So he said, the more I think of that, and the more I feel ecstasy, more and more, I enjoying this form again and again. And Prabhupada says, it appears that Sanjaya also, by the grace of Vyas, can see that universal form Krishna exhibited to Arjuna. Vyas disclosed this to his disciple Arjuna, who remembered that wonderful form of Krishna exhibited to Arjuna and enjoyed it repeatedly. So it's definitely the universal form. That's his mood of love. And now the last verse.
Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Parta Damodara Tatra Sri Vijaya Bhuti Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama.
Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. So this verse is the answer to the first verse of the book. If you turn back your pages to the first verse, you'll see that Dhritarashtra, he is asking Sanjaya, Dharmakshatra Kurukshatra Samaveda Yutsava Mamakam Panavaschava Kimva Kuravata Sanjaya. And what are my sons and the sons of Pandu doing on that Dharmakshatra? In other words, he was concerned about his own sons. Are they winning? Will they win the battle? Will we defeat the Pandava army? Will Bhishma kill all of the Pandavas and all of the Pandava army? He was very concerned. He was worried also about the influence of the battle, or the influence of the holy place, Dharmakshatra. He knew that they were fighting in that place. And that he knew that the Pandavas were very righteous and they would be more empowered there than his own sons, whom he knew that were not very righteous. So here, now finally, Sanjaya gives the answer to that question. Kimma kurvata, Sanjaya. So now Sanjaya says that wherever there is Krishna and wherever there is Danudar, Arjuna, then that place will have vijaya, victory, Shri, opulence, nitya, morality, and bhuti, exceptional power. In other words, there's no hope for your sons, my dear king. Give up all hope, because on Yudhisthira's side is the Supreme Lord, Keshava, Krishna, who's Bhagavan. And he has Danudar by his side, holding the Gandiva bow. And that Gandiva bow will rain down millions of arrows, mutilating all of your armies. So, my dear king, you should give up this hope, this vain hope that your sons will win the battle. There's no hope for them. There's no chance. He said, this is my humble opinion. So Prabhupada says, the Bhagavad Gita began with an inquiry of Dhritarashtra. He was hopeful of the victory of his sons, assisted by great warriors like Bhishma, Drona, and Karna. He was hopeful that the victory would be on his side. But after describing the scene in the battle, Sanjaya told him, you are thinking of victory, but my opinion is that where Krishna and Arjuna are present, there will be all good fortune. He directly confirmed that Dhritarashtra could not expect victory for his side. Victory was certain for the side of Arjuna because Krishna was there. Krishna's acceptance of the post of charioteer for Arjuna was an exhibition of another opulence. Krishna is full of all opulences and renunciation is one of them. The fight was actually between Duryodhana and Yudhisthira. Arjuna was fighting on behalf of his elder brother Yudhisthira. Because Krishna and Arjuna were on the side of Yudhisthira, Yudhisthira's victory was certain. The battle was to decide who would rule the world, and Sanjaya predicted that the power would be transferred to Yudhisthira. It is also predicted here that Yudhisthira, after gaining victory in the battle, would flourish more and more, because not only was he righteous and pious, but he was a strict moralist, niti. Right? He never spoke a lie during his life. Now we'll skip a paragraph. From Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that to realize oneself by philosophical speculation and meditation is one process, but to fully surrender to Krishna is the highest perfection. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. The path of regulative principles, according to the orders of social life and according to the different courses of religion, may be a confidential path of knowledge, but although the rituals of religion are confidential, meditation and cultivation of knowledge are still more confidential, and surrender unto Krishna in devotional service in full Krishna consciousness is the most confidential instruction. That is the essence of the 18th chapter. You should memorize this paragraph. It's very important. And now we'll skip down to the last paragraph. The living entity, in his original position, is pure spirit. He is just like an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. Thus Lord Krishna may be compared to the sun, and the living entities to sunshine. Because the living entities are the marginal energy of Krishna, they have a tendency to be in contact either with the material energy or with the spiritual energy. In other words, a living entity is situated between the two energies of the Lord. And because he belongs to the superior energy of the Lord, he has a particle of independence. By proper use of that independence, he comes under the direct order of Krishna. Thus he attains his normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency. Srila Prabhupada ki. So Prabhupada is saying that the jiva has his minute independence. He can take shelter of the spiritual or the material energy. And that's his choice. That's the only thing that he can actually do, is choose between those things. And Arjuna had this choice to surrender to Krishna or to be in Maya. But in verse 73 he said, Nashna moha smriti labdha tat prasara maya stito smi gata sandeha. Now my doubts are finished. My illusions finish. And my memory has been regained by your mercy. Therefore, karishye vachanam tava. Now I will use my minute independence in the proper way, in my constitutional position. And he grabbed the Gandiva bow and he stood up. So one may, if one would allow poetic license, the Gandiva bow is like the minute independence of the jiva. He can either pick it up or he can let it stay down. If he picks it up, then he'll fight for Krishna and surrender to Krishna. And if he puts it down, then he'll be morose like Arjuna was when he put down his chapa and he put down his bow and arrows, and he was very sad and he was crying and lamenting and illusion and he was anxiety, like having a nervous breakdown. So the big difference, you know, in the first beginning of the Gita, in chapter 2, chapter 1, when he put his bow down and he was lamenting. At the end of chapter 1, he was crying. And Krishna saw him and then he said, where has this impurity come from? So Arjuna was in Maya. And this is the symptoms of someone who doesn't surrender. He has these same symptoms. He's morose, and he's anxiety, lamenting, and he's mental. He doesn't know what to do and what not to do. But then Krishna gave him knowledge, and then he surrendered. And then at the end, he stood up with the Gandiva bow and said, yes, now I will use my minute independence in the correct way. Because now I understand you're the Supreme Lord, and I'm your servant. I will assist you as your instrument. So all of us have that opportunity at every moment to surrender and be in the spiritual energy, or to hold back and then to just wallow in Maya and in illusion and lamentation. So we should always take shelter of the spiritual energy in the form of sadhusanga, hearing and chanting, hearing the shastras, surrendering, performing our devotional service, worshipping the deity, praying, doing bhajan, all of these things. That's the spiritual energy. That's how we take shelter of these things and we enter into the spiritual energy. And then Krishna will also take the reins of our chariot and he'll guide us and direct us towards him. He'll bring us to him. Krishna will also take the reins of our chariot and drive us, because he wants to see our surrender. And when he sees that, then he reciprocates with us. So the last thing I'll just read, Vidyabhushan, he ends his Gita Bhushan commentary. He says, having obtained the boat of the Lord's desire, I have submerged myself in the sea of Bhagavad Gita, where I have collected many very wonderful gems of its purports. Due to my great feelings of joy, I cannot raise myself out of the sea. I only hope that the cunning son of Nanda is pleased with me. I, Baladev Vidyabhushan, have with great effort compiled this tika named Sri Gita Bhushan. May the saintly devotees correct any fault it contains. They are always eager to taste the sweetness of pure love for Sri Govinda, and their hearts are always melted with compassion. Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Krishna Arjuna ki, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Nitai Bhura Pramanande, Shri Shri Radhe.